Well, my first guest this morning is a Vancouver filmmaker who's caught the eye and ear of Capitol Hill and Hollywood. Nick Bichinich's documentary Shadow Company explores a burgeoning business in Iraq and Afghanistan. They call themselves private security consultants, which you might say is a nice word for mercenaries. There are about 20,000 of them in Iraq alone. They come from South Africa, the UK, the US, and also Canada, among other places. One of them was Nick's buddy, James Ashcroft, and we meet him at the start of the film.
Broadcasting from an undisclosed location, Freedom Radio on 107.7 FM, Baghdad.
Hi, all. In brief, for those of you who don't already know, I quit the job at the law firm, and I'm now working for a private security company in Iraq. I'm on a six-on, three-off rotation, 6 weeks on, 3 weeks off. The contract is huge. 200 men doing close protection tasks, or PSD, as the Americans call it. There are swarms of other firms of private contractors all over the place. Some complete cowboy outfits. But this one is fairly sharp, so I'm not too worried about getting killed. Besides, I've promised Debbie, Jill, Alice and Natasha that I'll come back alive.
It's a little sample of the new documentary, Shadow Company. Nick Bichinich, the writer-director of Shadow Company, joins me now to talk about it in our Vancouver studio. Hello, Nick.
Good morning. Hey, how's it going?
I'm doing quite well, and this is a fascinating documentary. It's quite an accomplishment. We just heard from your friend, James Ashcroft, who inspired you to make this film. Can you give me an idea of why you wanted to tell these stories?
The story with James, just to give you a brief backstory, is we went to university together. He studied law, I was studying chemistry, and I lost track of him for a couple of years after university. I knew peripherally from emails that I got, you know, every 6 months that he'd joined the army and he spent a couple of years doing the usual thing that a British army officer would do, Northern Ireland, I think the conflict was in Bosnia at the time, and a couple of other places. And at some point he sent me this email saying, oh, I'm going to be a mercenary. And initially I thought, oh, that's kind of entertaining and funny, because I thought it meant, you know, these guys with knives between their teeth who would go out and, you know, rape and pillage and collect a big fat paycheck in the end.
Well, what does it mean?
It means something very different. The overwhelming majority of these modern-day mercenaries or security contractors are just like my friend James. They're professional soldiers that spent a large number of years acquiring a particular skill set, and now they're applying that skill set in the private sector. So it's a
play. So what do you want to call them? For the sake of this interview, what do we call them?
I'm quite happy calling them modern-day mercenaries, although I use the term interchangeably. It's a play on words that the security industry tries to they try to change what the word means because they don't like the way that they become perceived.
I want to play a clip from another one of the mercenaries you interviewed, and we're going to hear from Slavko Ilic, who recently worked as a security contractor in Iraq.
You have to drive aggressively. It's a hostile environment without question. So if there's a vehicle in front of me and it's not moving out of the way, you've got to take some evasive maneuvers. You've got to go around that vehicle. You've got to take a different route. You may have to make contact with that vehicle to let it know that it needs to move out of the way. From a security contractor's perspective or a security consultant's perspective, I do nothing different than does anybody when they go work for IBM or any other corporation in the world. Is that corporation doing a service or a disservice to society? And if you believe they're doing a disservice and you still work for them, what does that make you? Not work for a criminal organization. I would not work for a criminal entity, and obviously that it's my call whether that entity is criminal or not.
Yeah, that's the mercenary Slavko Ilic from the documentary Shadow Company. One of the things Slavko talks about is the morality of what these guys do. And earlier this summer, I interviewed the mother of Stefan Surette, a Canadian who died as a private security contractor in Iraq. One of the guys actually mentioned in the credits of your film as one of the mercenaries that's died. And we received a fair amount of criticism for even doing the story. Why are you profiling this guy? Why are you putting this on the air? What do you think? Why do you think this subject troubles people so much?
The fact is, I'm not surprised in the slightest that when you aired your show about Surette, that you had a lot of people complaining, saying, why are you even talking about this? I mean, mm-hmm. I certainly felt that we struggled to get some aspects of the message with Shadow Company across because we were balanced. In other words, had we told a one-sided story that was, for the sake of argument, anti private military companies and pointed out exactly how evil these war profiteers are, we would have had a much easier time selling that story because that's what people want to hear. But the fact is, that is not really the truth. The truth is far more complicated than that. There are certainly some bad companies, but there are some good companies.
How receptive were these private military companies for an interview for the doc?
It was a tough going. And the biggest reason it was tough going is because they're used to journalists that don't want to tell a balanced story. And when I approached them, they had no idea who I was. There was no broadcaster backing me. There was no distributor on board as one would traditionally have with a film. So it took a lot of time to gain their trust and to basically make them convince them, as it happens truthfully, that I was not out there to make a smear piece. I didn't approach the documentary saying, I'm going to talk about how evil these guys are, or I'm going to talk about how great these guys are. I said, look, I want to tell the story. This is important. Yes, I know there's some companies that are ripping off the government for loads of money. Yes, I know there's some cowboys, but I also imagine that there's a lot of guys out there doing legitimate line of work. You know, there's guys who have a skill set. They've got bills to pay, mortgages, kids to put through school. They don't really know what to do, and they can't really do anything else. They've spent their entire lives doing one particular set of tasks. They're trying to do that in the private sector. Eventually, some of them agreed to talk to me, and I'm proud to say that not only do they feel that the documentary portrays a balanced view, but also so do a number of, as you mentioned at the beginning, Hollywood and Washington, D.C., a number of Democratic congressmen have come on board and really enjoyed the movie and said, look, you know, we support the way you're trying to tell the story. Amnesty International loves the film and is using it as a key tool in choosing to educate its activists about what this industry has become.
You were in Iraq.
Yes.
Shooting. What did you get a sense of what the Iraqi people, their feelings about private security contractors?
Yeah, the Iraqi people don't like them very much. The Iraqi people don't like them very much because the Iraqi people perceive all of them, well, it's unfair to generalize. There's a great majority of the Iraqi people that don't like the idea of men who are not in uniform yet who have weapons, but who have, by law, they're allowed to essentially bump people out of the way. I mean, imagine if you're going to work, you're just trying to get to work in the morning,
yeah.
And some guy...
There doesn't sound like there's a lot to like about that.
No,
Nick.
I know, yeah. Some guy's in a three-car convoy, and you don't really know who they are. I mean, you don't know who they are or who they're guarding. As far as you're concerned, they might be CIA, they might be some sort of enemy spies. Who knows what you have ended up believing? But the fact is, whether you believe that they're some sort of covert operation or not, the fact is that you see these three-car convoys with guys with guns hanging out who, you know, look kind of aggressive. They're probably quite big, burly guys. They probably have shaved heads, and they're yelling commands at you because you're supposed to move out of the way. And then sometimes they shoot towards your vehicle. They may not necessarily be shooting at you, but they're shooting near you to get you to move out of the way or to not approach the vehicle. And the fact is, they're allowed to do that.
But Iraqi citizens have died as well.
Iraqi citizens have died, and the crimes
have gone unpunished.
There has been a number of incidents, although they're in varying different degrees of legal process. In other words, some of them, I'm sure that some of them are true, because there's definitely been incidents that I've spoken to security contractors within the industry who say, yeah, you know what, dude, there are some cowboys. And one of the reasons why we're pushing for transparency and accountability is to weed those guys out, because they give us a bad name.
What is your sense, having been through this journey, made this documentary, of the broader implications of the growing reliance upon private military contractors?
I think it's very scary because, you know, one of the defining things of a nation state, one of the defining criteria is the monopoly on the use of force. If you remove that monopoly on the use of force, such as has been slowly happening and is happening more and more, and you put it in private hands, all of a sudden all the checks and balances that are in place in a nation state, you know, the different political processes and the different things that have to happen for a country to go to war, suddenly disappear. So when you have the ability of a private company like Blackwater, an American company that's fairly large and high profile in this industry, Blackwater has the ability and the manpower and the desire to go and, for example, stabilize the entire Darfur region in the Sudan. The fact that they're able to do that, doesn't matter whether they're going to be allowed to, but the fact that a single private company is able to do that is a very scary thought, because if those sort of forces are turned for the bad, or perhaps for the good in some lopsided way that we're not aware of, in other words, if there isn't enough transparency, well, who knows what can happen.
But they're not responsible to anyone except for those they're getting paid by. I mean, the thing about your documentary is, and I think you're quite rightly, it isn't a polemical diatribe. I didn't get a sense that you were promoting or taking shots at either side, and it's quite comprehensive, and it's certainly educational. But I left it feeling quite scared because it became profoundly clear how much these mercenaries, these private military contractors, can change the world, can change what's happening in places of conflict in the world right now.
I completely agree with you. It is a very scary thought, and it's one of the reasons why it's vital that more people are aware of these guys. They're aware that they're out there. I mean, if you ask the average person who comes to see our film, there's a really massive discussion afterwards because they're fascinated by this concept, because they suddenly realize this industry is here and it's not going away. This is not just an anomaly. There's more of these guys every day. And if my film can be part of educating everyone about that so we can make some more informed decisions, then so much the better.
You mentioned Capitol Hill.
Yes.
What was the reaction there? I know this is a huge topic in Washington right now.
It is, yeah. It was very interesting. I mean, we had Congressman Jim McDermott and Congresswoman Jan Schakowsky were both involved in the screening of the film. Senator Kennedy's people loved the movie, and they helped us organize a Capitol Hill screening. The very fact of being screening the film on Capitol Hill is kind of a unique position to find yourself in, especially, I mean, I was exceptionally proud of that, just proud that they took an interest, because, you know, what are we? We're a self-distributed, self-financed movie from Vancouver, and suddenly we're sitting there, I'm fielding phone calls from Senator Kennedy's office saying, everybody's got to see this movie. How can we help you do that? So from that point of view, there's an exceptional amount of support. What was interesting for me is how incredibly polarized the U.S. political landscape is. And I know I'm stating an obvious truism here, mm-hmm. that of course it's polarized, it's the U.S. But I was amazed that in some instances we weren't left enough for the left, but we weren't right enough for the right.
But that's why you go and make an ideological Michael Moore type film, because then at least you're celebrated by one community.
Yeah, Rick. But see, I know what you're saying, and like I said, it would have been a much easier sell if we decided, you know, we're going to make a polemic movie, we're going to do a Michael Moore, we're going to make this thing which points out how evil these guys are, and sure, the Democrats will love us. Well, it just seemed like a cheap shot, because I thought, this isn't really a true story. And the fact is, you know, I watched Michael Moore and Greenwald films, and I kind of go, you know what, I agree with some of the points you're making, but I really don't like the way you're making them, because I feel cheated. I feel like you're only showing me one side of the story, and I don't like making my decisions with that kind of information. So we wanted to encourage people to look at both sides of the story, or even to go out and gather their own information.
The other side of the story, when you talk about the other side, I mean, if the one side is that mercenaries are evil, I understand that the other side is that there's some good people who aren't necessarily, don't have the dagger in their mouths and aren't crazy cowboys. But is there really another side to whether the increased dominance of private military contractors is not is a scary thing? Is there another side of that?
No, I don't think so. I actually think, you know, that's a fair conclusion overall. But I didn't want to just go, hey, welcome to a movie about private security contractors. These guys are really dangerous phenomenon, so pay attention. Thank you. The end. I mean, sure, that is something the conclusion says in some ways, and the film itself says an awful lot of other things, as I'm sure if people get a chance to see it, they'll know. But like I said, it's very easy to go, well, here's an obvious solution. Increase the transparency, increase the accountability, vet these people properly, be more careful as to how the contracts are allocated. You know, all of these things are no-brainers, and whoever you speak to, whether it's an NGO like Amnesty or whether it's a political lobby group in Washington that has its salaries paid by security contracting companies, they'll tell you the exact same thing.
Very quickly, I'm going to have to let you go. So you've had Edward Zwick, mm-hmm. the well-known Hollywood filmmakers, called you about a Leo DiCaprio film. Mm-hmm. Tell me about that.
Yeah, it was an interesting, my first introduction to big Hollywood names, but I sent a copy of the film to Edward Zwick. Edward Zwick was writing and directing a film called Blood Diamond, which deals with a certain period of time in Sierra Leone when a company called Executive Outcomes was hired by the government to essentially stabilize the situation in the country. Edward Zwick making this movie, and Leo DiCaprio's character, someone who used to work for Executive Outcomes, so I thought, why don't I send him a copy of the movie? Maybe he'll find this interesting. What I didn't expect was that within 4 days of receiving the film, I get an email from Edward Zwick stating, I loved your movie. I saw it on the flight over to Mozambique, where I'll be shooting Blood Diamonds. I want to meet with you as soon as possible to discuss various things about your film. I just want to say that I think this is one of the best documentaries I've ever seen, blah, blah, blah. And obviously, I'm reading this email going, wow, this is amazing. And I got in touch with him, spent some time with him in Santa Monica in his offices. We talked a lot about his film, and in fact, he invited me out to Mozambique to the set of Blood Diamonds. I had a chance to talk to Leo. Leo had a chance to look at the movie as well, and he really enjoyed it. So generally, there's certainly support at the highest echelons of Washington, D.C. and Hollywood for Shadow Company. It's just a question of how far we can push it now.
Good for you. Kennedy and DiCaprio. Look,
yes.
What else do you need? Let me wrap with this. As a filmmaker, what have you taken away from this whole experience, Nick?
I've taken away a number of different things. I mean, they often have said to me in the past, various different people who I've spoken to in the film industry, this is my first feature-length film, and, you know, you approach things a certain way, and people will go, well, you know, you can't do this, you have to do it this way, or you're supposed to follow this path, you're supposed to sign up with a broadcaster first, then they're supposed to pay for this, and then you're supposed to try and sell your movie later on down the line. We tried to throw out as many conventions as we could. We were in the fortunate position of being able to finance this movie ourselves. As it happens, it's much easier to do for a documentary nowadays than it is for example, a feature film. If you tried to make a feature film with actors for the amount of money we spent doing this documentary, you'd make a pretty crappy feature film. But with a documentary, you can actually get away with telling a story. So we didn't listen to most people's advice. We didn't do it a traditional way. And if anything, I learned that if you make good product, people will listen. And I know that might be empty promises for someone who's trying to do the same thing, but it really does work. I mean, I have no connection to Ed Zwick whatsoever. There's no reason why he would have cared at all about something coming from me, yet he looked at it, he chose to watch it, and because it was good, he responded, and that's led to some very interesting contacts. Likewise with Kennedy's people. Kennedy's people didn't ask for the film. I just sent it to them because I thought it would be something they were interested in. And that led to a fascinating number of things, and hopefully we'll continue from there.
Thanks for joining me this morning.
Thank you very much.
Nick Bichinich is the producer and co-director of Shadow Company, a documentary about mercenaries and how they are changing the rules of war in places like Iraq and Afghanistan. Shadow Company became available last week through mail order. That's all for this half hour.